soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Greetings. Well, this week I return to the Book of John to see what might be revealed to us. And we had covered John 4, 5, and 6. And so I continued with John 7. However, nothing hit me until I got to John chapter 9, in which I read one sentence that so shook my universe, I'm not even sure I can get it across. One thing I am certain of, however, John speaks in tongues. We have said repeatedly that everything in this book is describing an internal spiritual experience. And John is in the consciousness within himself, in that Christ consciousness, as he is telling these stories or writing them down, whichever the case was. He is in that internal spiritual consciousness. And when he writes these events, these stories, he is speaking in tongues. This is what is meant by speaking in tongues, in spiritual tongues. And when I pick this book up and read it, I go within myself in meditation and attain a sufficient degree of stillness so that I am receptive to what John is saying, what Christ consciousness in John is saying, or actually what John in Christ consciousness is saying. And so John is speaking in spiritual tongues, and I know this, and I listen with that inner ear, and I am able to interpret tongues. This is my gift, my talent. I am able to read along until something that he is pouring out from within him resonates within me. And the experience is not like understanding a little bit and thinking it over and understanding a little bit more and adding one and one to come out to two. That would be an intellectual exercise. And that's not the experience at all. The experience is more like this. I read along, and something, a sentence, a paragraph, a story, it resonates within me. I can feel it inside. There is a quickening. There is a vibration which I can actually feel. And I know that something is about to reveal itself. And I may even say out loud, what is it? What does it mean? Father, what are you trying to tell me? Show me. Or I may just get quiet and go within and wait. But when I feel that, I know something's about to come out. And when it comes in a flash. It comes all at once. I do not get a little bit and a little bit. I see the whole thing immediately. Immediately I see the whole thing. The the understanding of the whole story, sentence, and many things offshooting from there, or many things that offshoot. And I see them all at once. I grasp the whole thing. Immediately I have an intuitive understanding of the whole thing. That is interpreting tongues. And so that's what I do. That's my function, and I know that. John speaks in spiritual tongues, and I interpret tongues to you. For you or for us. And this whole thing takes place usually in the twinkling of an eye. Sometimes it takes hours or even days to draw all of that out from within. But the inner realization is instantaneous. I see the whole thing. Right now. And so, when I got to John chapter 9, my eyes fell upon a sentence that immediately resonated within me, and instantly I saw the whole thing. And now I would like to try to attempt to share what came to me, what was given me. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Seems like such a simple sentence. Jesus' answer, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It seems like a simple sentence, doesn't it? This sentence is the key for those that have ears to hear. This sentence will unlock the freedom that is your birthright. This sentence will destroy entirely that which may have held you back. And so now let's take a moment and get quiet, become still, see if we can't be receptive to the inner meaning of John's wonderful description here. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, those that do not have ears to hear are those that see these scriptures as something taking place out there. And therefore, when they read this, they will see, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Oh, this is telling us about a person that is blind. His eyes don't work. But those that have ears to hear, they know this is an internal spiritual experience. And so they hear with a little different understanding. And so they would read it this way. Jesus saw a man which was blind from his birth. In other words, having been born into the human scene makes one blind. Blind to the truth, to their true identity, to the invisible kingdom. And so Jesus saw a man which was blind because of his birth. He wasn't able to see or know the truth. He was blind. He was living in mortality. And his disciples asked him, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind?" In other words, they're asking him, whose fault is this, that this man here is blind, stuck in a dream, stuck in mortality, stuck in the belief of a mortal existence? Is it because he's sinning, or is it because his parents sinned? Whose fault is this? Jesus answered, "Neither. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents." Now, I don't know if you can catch that, but Jesus, in one sentence, is wiping out entirely and for all time the belief in karma. Right here in the 9th chapter of John, Christ within you, Christ within me, is saying, there is no such thing as karma. There's no such thing as sin. This man hasn't sinned, nor has his parents. Not only that, but he is impersonalizing. Jesus Christ is impersonalizing. Because Christ is looking at this one stuck in mortality and saying, he's not responsible. It's not because of his sin nor his parents' sin. All of that belongs to the mortal dream. You're asking the wrong question. And so, single-handedly, Christ in this chapter is telling us karma is a part of the mortal dream. There is no such thing, nor has there ever been any such thing as karma. Now that rocks our world, and should. That's the purpose of the Christ, to dissolve the world that we have created with the five physical senses, including the world that says that we sow and we reap. Who sows? Who reaps? If mortality is a myth, who sows? Who reaps? If mortality is a dream, who is sowing? There's nobody home. There's no one to sow. There's no one to reap. There's no law. There's no karma. There's no sin. There's no sinner. Step out of that. And so Jesus looks and says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Ever. You have never sinned. You, listening to this talk right now, you have never sinned. Do you see this? Those that do not have ears to hear, they read later in this book that Christ takes away the sin of the world. And placing everything out there, like that mind always does, they say, okay, yes, a man was nailed on a cross and he took on the sin of the world. He was sacrificed like a lamb. And all that bloody nightmare paid the price, so now I can sin and not worry about it. This is not an external deal. It's all internal, all of it. And those that lived in that high state of consciousness told us about these internal experiences, which is where the path is. And so, yes, Christ dissolves the sin of the world by revealing there is no sinner. And that's what Christ is doing right here in the consciousness of John, in the Christ consciousness which he has attained. Christ is revealing to him and to all of us for all time, karma is a dream. Step out of that belief, he's saying to the disciples. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Neither! I mean, this thing excites me. This means, as far back as you can remember in this life or any other life, you have never sinned. There are no sinners on earth. If you see one, then you are the disciples that haven't come up high enough. But Christ within you is saying, come up higher. There are no sinners. No one has ever sinned. No one has ever sown. No one has ever reaped. It's all a part of the belief, the knowledge of good and evil that we read about in Genesis. All of that, the knowledge of good and evil, which is a false knowledge, is the creator of these concepts of karma and sinning. Yes, Christ takes on and dissolves the sin of the world by revealing there isn't any. Yes, Christ has power to forgive sins, to wipe them out, but only to those that have ears to hear, and only to those that are willing and ready to step out of that state of mind that can believe in sin. Well, what about that person I saw yesterday that took something off the shelf and didn't pay for it? What about my neighbor over there who I can hear smacking his wife? What about the person who I saw on the news that shot someone for $200 and killed them? Aren't these sinners? Well, what does Christ say about it? What about where he's presented with the prostitute? Everyone's getting ready to pick up stones and throw at her. They're going to stone her to death. She was caught in the very act of adultery. What does he do about it? If you look at the story, he bends down, he draws a little picture, writes in the dirt, in the sand. And finally, they want his opinion. Now, they are not external people. Stop seeing this as external events. This is a picture of the human mind making all kinds of judgments, and very self-righteous judgments, I might add. She was doing this. We caught her red-handed. Now, what do you say about it? What does the Christ say? Neither do I condemn thee. Because I don't see a sinner. There isn't any. I, Christ, have the ability to look right through the picture and into the invisible and see that you have never sinned. What about the thief? He was caught red-handed, nailed to the cross, apologizing profusely to Jesus, to Christ. This again is not an external experience. This is you when you go to the Christ of your being and you're feeling guilty. I'm sorry. I knew better. What does Christ say? Today you will be with me in paradise. This second. Christ has power to forgive sins because Christ has power to see through the mortal dream, the belief in good and evil, the belief in karma, the belief in good and bad, the belief in someone that could sin, someone that could pay a price. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind because of his birth. And his disciples asked him, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus answered, "Neither. Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents." Period. But he was born so that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Oh, and by the way, I looked it up here in this giant book I have called Strong's Concordance, and I looked up what did he mean here in this statement, "Neither has this man sinned." I really love this. The Greek says that sin means to miss the mark. And of course we know in the medieval days, in Robin Hood's time, archery was a big thing and they had contests. And they would draw back that bow and let that arrow fly and it would twang into the center of the target. Or it may miss a little to the side. And when it missed a little to the side, everyone would yell, "Sin!" Because you had missed the mark. You had missed the bullseye. But this Greek here says that sin means to miss the mark and so not share in the prize. Is that not wonderful? That's wonderful. Here we thought sin was being bad, when all that sin meant was to miss the mark and so not share in the prize. And what's the prize? The prize is to know your true spiritual identity. The prize is what we talked about in The Harvest is Plentiful. The prize is the invisible spiritual kingdom. That's the prize. And so these disciples are asking him, "Who is sinning and missing the mark and not able to meet to have the prize?" And Christ is saying, "No one." I don't know if you can catch the significance of this. It is just phenomenal. Think about it. Our whole Western society, heck, the whole world is built on a belief in the law. A belief in good over evil. A belief in punishment for sins. And here, in one sentence, Christ wipes that out completely. And one of the disciples knew this because he said, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus." So, the law, the tree of knowledge, is a lie. And that's why he said the truth was given by Christ. The lie was given by Moses, and the truth was given by Christ. I know we don't like to hear that phrased that way. But you see, Moses knew the truth because he had that experience, that internal, again, it wasn't external, internal awareness, I am that I am. And so Moses knew the truth, but he didn't give the truth out. He veiled the truth. And what was given, and I'm not sure Moses gave it, but through the centuries, what was given was a lie. But Christ gives us the truth, grace and truth. And what is grace? Grace is knowing, awakening out of the dream, that there ever was a law. You live in a lawless, insofar as karma is concerned, universe. The only law is God's law, and God's law is grace. That's it. That's the only law anywhere, at any time, grace. And that is the truth, which will set us free. Now, what does that mean to us? How do we apply that? Well, the second half of the sentence says, the reason you were born, the reason you came forth, sprung forth from God, was so that the works of God should be made manifest in you. That's all. It wasn't so you could sow good and reap good. It wasn't so that you could learn to stop sinning. It wasn't so you could live a mortal life at all. You sprung forth in order that you would show forth the works of God. Or in other words, that the deeds of God, the presence of God, should be made manifest in you. So that the presence of God should appear in you. You came forth so that the presence of God should be you. Because you are the presence of God. Now, what is all this silly stuff about sinning? Now, one thing about truth, such as we have just read, and that is, if you see this intellectually, that's a good thing. That's the first step. You understand there are no sinners on earth. There has never been one single sinner and never one single sin anywhere in God's kingdom. If you see that intellectually, you have made a beginning. But now what? That won't change you. That won't change your universe. That won't help you, or that won't make you free. That won't enable you to step out of mortality that's dreaming the other. What must be done with it? You must take this into your meditation daily. And you might even start with that. There has never been a sinner anywhere at any time, any place. There is no sin. Christ has revealed to me there is no sinner, there is no sin. There is no law that says what you sow, that shall you reap. Oh yes, all these things are true while you're dreaming you're immortal. But here, this Christ within my being says, none of it's true. You're not immortal. Who sinned, him or his parents? Neither. They're not there. Stop seeing them. Well now, I know I must be able to look past or through a sin, a sinner, a belief in good and evil in order to see that which Christ sees. And what does Christ see? Christ sees a being that is here to, so that the works, the deeds of God should appear. Christ sees a presence that is here so that God itself should appear. Christ sees the presence of God appearing. And that's all Christ sees. Take these beliefs of yours somewhere else, Christ says. That's a dream. I am awake, and I see the reality of your being. You are God itself, expressing itself infinitely. You have no other existence. There is no forgiveness required. That again was a misperception. That is so far from the truth. There's no forgiveness required. You are the action of God appearing. Take that into your meditation. Rest in that word. I am the presence of God appearing. I came forth that the presence of God should manifest, should appear. And then be still. As you live with this, you take it out on the street with you. You see someone pick up something and put it in their pocket and walk out the front door of Walmart or Kmart or any mart. And immediately the mind starts in. Oh, you apply what we have learned here today. There is no sin. There is no sinner. There is no law. There is no punishment. There is no punishment. And therefore, right here, in the midst, is the presence of God showing forth. And I'm not going to be fooled by this picture in my mind, because this is all an internal experience. No one out there stole anything. This is the knowledge of good and evil presenting itself to you. Are you going to eat of that tree again? Or are you going to say no thank you and eat of the tree of real life? And say, I know who thou art. Thou art Christ, the showing forth of God. And rest. At some point in your mulling this over, you'll come to see all of your beliefs in past lives and karma, making mistakes, are a lie, part of the tree of knowledge, of sowing and reaping. No such thing anywhere was ever created by God. None of it. Zero. Zip. No mistakes that you thought you made. Now, in the past, in the far past, in previous lifetimes, no mistakes that you thought you made were made. The reality of you was never in that picture. And that's all it was, a picture. There are no sins, there are no sinners, there is no karma, there is no law, there is no good and evil, there is no creation separate and apart from God? You sprung forth so that the glory of God may be made manifest, may appear. That is who you are. That is who I am. That is who every living thing is. One life, one presence, one will. If you take this and you live with this and you apply it and you meditate on it, you will come to the point of realization which will rock your world, because this world hinges on these beliefs. And as you break them, well, in Revelation, John tells us the sun will not be stable in the sky. The moon will not be secure. His way of telling us about an internal experience, not an external one. And the internal experience is this world will shatter. We read about it last week. It will be torn to shivers. Then when you have had that realization, you are set free into your true identity, which is the Christ that sees the works of God manifest everywhere as everyone. Then others, well, what will happen to you? As the Christ, you are given the power to forgive sins. On earth, you have the power to forgive sins. As the Christ, you can dissolve the sin of the world. And you will have the experience of people coming up to you and saying, I need help. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm doing this. And you, the living Christ, will have the power, because of your realization, will have the power and the authority to forgive sins on earth by knowing there aren't any, and there aren't any sinners. And then you will set people free. Do you see how one sentence uttered by the Christ, one sentence, transforms you and your entire experience? One sentence can shatter, utterly destroy to shivers all these beliefs in immortal existence, in a law of cause and effect, in punishment and sins and diseases. Do you not see what he did here with one sentence? He wiped it all out. You're not suffering because God's trying to teach you a lesson. That is such baloney. You're not going through a hard time so you can learn something. That's just a tricky way of believing in the same law of cause and effect, sowing and reaping, doing bad and having punishment, needing forgiveness of your sins. All of that comes under the heading of the tree of knowledge, of two. And now, know this. He wiped out in that sentence the belief that you have got to make progress before you can have the God experience. He wiped it out. You are already that place where the works of God are made manifest. You can't earn it. You can't not deserve it. You can't have to learn lessons before you can get it. None of that is true. He wiped it all out. One sentence that Christ wiped out this world. And as we discover by reading these different chapters in John, it didn't just happen once. Every single time that Christ utters a word, the earth melts because it didn't happen out there 2,000 years ago. It's not an external experience. It's an internal experience. And when God speaks, the earth melts. When Christ speaks, he shatters the world to shivers. Do you see? Isn't this fabulous? And so John is speaking to us in tongues, and I am interpreting tongues. That was the gift that God gave me, or God uses through me. It's as much a part of me as breathing. And God individualizes as you also, and has given you a gift, which is a part of you, a part of your consciousness. But to come into the awareness of what that is means stepping out of and refusing to have any more bites of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Come back to your center. This will take some time to practice this, to apply this, to have the inner realization that sets you free from all time, from karma, from good and evil, from the belief in sin and sinners and punishment, and the need to learn lessons. This will take some time. Joel talked about taking the principle, my kingdom is not of this world, and living with it for 2 years until it became bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And we're talking about taking the principle, who sinned? Neither. What is here is that one who came forth so that the works of God may manifest. Taking that principle, living with it, applying it every time you catch yourself thinking in terms of punishment or sins or karma or the law or sowing and reaping, every time you think in terms of that, catching yourself and applying this principle, it means living with it in your meditations again and again, not just once. It means taking and listening to this talk and reading it for yourself in the book of John. It means suddenly coming to see in the writings of the Infinite Way many places where this has already been mentioned, but until now you did not have the ears to hear. And it means getting to the place in your realization of this truth where at first you were applying it. Now you look at someone that appears to be sinning, and this truth applies itself within you. And then finally, this truth is you. The appearance of sin hits up against your consciousness, and what happens when Christ speaks? It melts. And so this is a practice that can take a little while. And like with Joel, it took him 2 years. And in my case, I have had many realizations that, or many sudden intuitive insights that it took months or more than a year to have the final realization, the full realization. This has the power to rock your world. If you really grasp this, I know you may not be getting it now because your mouth would be hanging down to your knees and you would realize how much extra baggage you've carried in by having this belief. But when it hits you, your earth will be shattered to shivers. It will melt. And you will be free in your true identity. And so I hope for you, this being New Year's Eve, that you awaken to this realization and have a new experience. Not a continuation of your human belief, but a new transcendental experience of the reality of your freedom in Christ. Blessings and deep love for all of you.